That was an opportunity for anybody to come up and share, so I got here first, so it's my turn. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you guys. What I want you to do right now with the people sitting next to you is just tell them how you're doing. How's everything going this morning? How are you doing? Go ahead and have a quick combo. Give me some time here. All right, well, let's bring it back together. I always hesitate to do that because I know once you let disciples start talking, then it just, you know, you can't stop them. So I'm going to try to reel it back in. I appreciate you asking how I'm doing. I'm doing pretty good this morning. Appreciate that. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the fall workshop. But it is good to see all of you this morning. It's great that so many of us could come out and be together to set off the fall here in the Hudson Valley Church. And as Ryan mentioned, as you can see up here, we're going to talk about growth today. We're going to talk about growth in the context of community. Because what we have here as a Hudson Valley Church is a great community. But what God wants to do is he wants to make us a greater community, a true and authentic community. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But I do want to thank all of you for being here today. Where else would you want to be on a Saturday morning than together in community? Right? Amen. I knew it. But I also want to thank all of you for who you are. Who you are as disciples, as the people of God. I want to thank you for who you are to the Hudson Valley Church, all of you. And I sincerely mean this, all of you matter and play an important role here in the Hudson Valley Church. So I just want to say thank you to you for who you are and what you do. You know, I'm so grateful to be part of such an inspiring and awesome church, just an awesome, passionate community of disciples of Jesus. And so, yeah, I wanted to let you know about that. I am grateful for you and grateful to be here. I do want to give a special thanks to our core leadership group. And so I'm going to ask our core leadership group to stand up at this time so I can acknowledge you. So, yeah, the McCulloughs or half the McCullough group, the Pensadases, the Kennards, the Zayases, the Irbys, the Sanders. this is, and I mentioned this a couple Wednesdays ago, this is a very special group, and they mean so much to me. I mean, I couldn't do this job without them. So much of what happens here and the good things that happen here are a result of what happens within that group. And so I just wanted to acknowledge them and also mention that they were incredibly helpful in planning and coordinating today. If things go well, it's them. If things get messed up, then it's me. And I'll take the blame for that. But amen. That's the way that goes. So I want to give you the agenda and where we're headed today. Okay, so the agenda, here it comes. This is where we're going with today. So we've had a time of welcoming and song and agenda we're into now and prayer. And so this opening lesson that I have 2 minutes to get to, we'll start exactly at 9:30, is called Community. And then we'll have another song. I'll do a couple odds and ends. I want to talk about communication here in the Hudson Valley Church through Remind messages. We're going to talk about Saturday Academy. Nelson and Yvette are going to have an opportunity to talk about service teams. They're our service team leaders. Let's give it up for our service team leaders. And I can't say enough about them. They are awesome. They've been doing a phenomenal job. They're just, yeah, I mean, I so appreciate you stepping into that role and doing such a great job with that. So they'll have an opportunity for that. And then the time that you've all been waiting for, the break for bagels and fruit. I know we've dipped into that a little bit already. That's okay. That's what it's there for. But we'll have a time for that. And then we're going to talk specifically about life groups and do some life group teaching. I'm going to talk about accountability and some other processes that we've set up within the life groups. And then that's going to be destroyed. And then at 11:05, we'll get into life stage ministries. So we've been talking a lot about these, but I want to give the leaders of those ministries some time to talk about specifically what's coming up in those ministries. And we'll have another break. We'll have a song, a final charge, go and grow. And then at 11:40, you'll get a remind message that is the list of life groups, even though I understand that those have been accessed already, but that's okay. That was actually my mistake. I'll tell you the backstory on that later. But those will go out at 11:40, and then you'll have some time to meet in your life groups for the first time and talk about what's coming up in the fall for us as life groups and your specific life group, and then you'll have an opportunity to reflect a little bit on the lessons today. And then don't leave before 12:30 because that's when we get the group picture, and we got to get everybody in that thing. I mean, it's a great tradition that we've started here. So that's where we're going. Any questions on that? No? Okay, great. That's what we're doing today. But as I mentioned, this first lesson is about community. And so to begin this lesson, I actually want to share a story with you. I want to share a story with you about a small community of people. See, there was a large gathering in a popular city. People from all over the world had come together, different kinds of people, people with different backgrounds, people from different races and ethnicities, but they came together in this city and had gathered for a celebration. They were there to celebrate. But this was no ordinary celebration. This celebration would be different than any celebration prior and any celebration to come. It was a unique opportunity. Miraculous things started happening. And as these things started happening within that small community, the people were perplexed. They were astonished. They didn't know what to do. And so as that was happening, one individual, one man, was convicted. He had a deep and powerful conviction, and a power came on him unlike any power before. And he stood up to speak. He stood up to preach, and he addressed the crowd and explained what was going on and the events that were leading up to that point. And it all started to come together. It's like all the events had come together for that one point, that one moment in time. The crowd was locked in. They were hanging on to every word that this man spoke. And then he challenged them. He challenged the way that they were thinking and what they were doing and how they were being. He challenged them to the core. And many people responded to that challenge. And that challenge was a new yet an old belief, but they came together, the group of different individuals from different places and different races from all over the place came together in such a unique and a once-in-a-lifetime way. But they came together. They devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to prayer and to the apostles' teaching. And that community literally changed the world. Because of that community, we are able to be here today in this space, in this place, dwelling in grace, in truth, in forgiveness, in love, and certain of our eternal life. That community that I'm referring to, you know, is the Acts 2 community, the first Christian community, the first real, authentic, true community. And that community changed the world. And what is so inspiring about that community is that they were so different. They had no business being together. They had no business to have a kind of power come upon them as they did. And they certainly had no business accomplishing anything. But they did, because the power of God and because the power of unity and community. That community was transformative. Inside the community, but also outside. That community transformed the people around them, the communities that they were a part of and infiltrated. Because when the outside world looked at them, they saw something so unique, something so powerful, something so different, but it resonated within them that that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted to be a part of. And that's what's so incredible about Christian communities. No business being together, no business accomplishing anything powerful, but they come together in the deepest and most profound ways, and they change the world. So I want to look at two passages today that describe these communities. So we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 2, verse 19. So let me say a couple things about this before we really jump into the passages here and into the teaching. And so, you know, we've been studying through Ephesians throughout the summer. We've been talking about one another relationships and community and connection. And that was an inspiring time together. That was a great time together. And so as we transition into the fall, we're going to step out of this theme of connection and start talking about growth in community. And that's going to be our theme for the rest of the year, growth in community. And of course, there's, you know, a good connection there. And as we make that transition, the beginning of this fall, we're going to be studying through Colossians. And Colossians, the letter to the disciples in Colossae and to the disciples in Ephesus are very similar. And there's a lot of similar themes in there. But I do believe that it's a great opportunity for us to study Colossians, because Colossians has a lot to say about community and a lot to say about growth. And so as we begin the fall, we're going to make that transition. And so I wanted to highlight that. But also, you know, as we talk through things today, you're going to see a lot of these parallel passages in Ephesians and Colossians that we'll be studying out together. So let me read Ephesians 4:16 and then Colossians 2:19. But let me just get an amen if you're there. Amen. Okay, good. I just wanted to take a drink of water. All right, Ephesians 4:16. From him, that is Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then a similar passage, a parallel passage in Colossians 2:19, they have lost connection with the head. So he's, you know, Paul is writing here, and he's talking about these people that have gone astray from the faith, that have drifted from Jesus. But then he makes this point, from whom the whole body, that is Jesus, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Amen to that. And so Paul, in his letters to the church in Ephesus and Colossae, communicates essentially the same concept, the same idea. He uses this body metaphor, which we've been talking about this summer, an incredibly useful and vivid image to talk about the communities that had come about in Ephesus and Colossae. He's like, your communities that have come together seemingly out of nowhere, but you operate like a body, like the body of Christ. He says that the body is dependent on the head. Right, and the head, that is Jesus, gives direction, gives purpose and power to the body. And that concept, that idea is primary when we talk about community. It is central, it is foundational, it is fundamental for true, authentic community. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Well, I'll be talking more about that tomorrow as I preach on Sunday. So he starts there, and then he gets into this community idea, and it's just one passage, but it's so deep and rich in terms of what the communities of God, of Christ, should look like. So what Paul writes next is, again, what I want to focus on this first session today. He says that the body is joined, So it comes together, it is supported, so it is held up by one another and held together, this holding on to idea, by the different parts. And I love this. Each part has its own work or role to play in keeping the body together. Every body part matters. Every body part is important. And that's what Paul was communicating to the believers in these two places. And so as the body parts are joined, supported, and held together, that is done by love. It is done by love. The body is held together by love that is given and demonstrated by the head, agape love. That's unconditional love, love that crosses boundaries, that crosses borders, that crosses these things that separate people. And it's love that is about bringing out the good in someone else's life. Willing the good for somebody else. That's what brings the body together. That's what joins the body together. That's what supports the body. And that's what holds the body together. So I want to give you from these passages a simple definition of community. And a biblical definition of community. So community. It's a group of disciples of Jesus joined, supported, and held together by one another in love. And so Paul, as he gives this concept, these concepts about coming together as a community, then goes on to convey the natural outcome of true, authentic, actual community like this. And that outcome is growth. Not because the body earned it, but because the body is obedient to the head, and the head then supplies the growth. When people come together, and this is the central idea here, that when people come together like this in authentic community, the natural outcome of that coming together is growth, is transformation, both inside and outside the community. You know, this week was a little bit crazy for me. Did anybody else have a crazy week this week? I see some eyes opening up. And, you know, and sometimes life is just like that, right? And we can't always anticipate it, but what we can anticipate is that sometimes it's going to be like that. And as much as we've experienced that in the past, it's almost like there's nothing we can really fully prepare us for it. Right, and you know, there's just a lot that came up. I mentioned this a few times. I mentioned this on Wednesday with the men. So we just recently moved into a new house, which is exciting. It's been a great process, but filled with different challenges in there. And so, you know, with that, then, which I'll say this too to this group, I'm grateful for that actually, because now I have a plethora of sermon illustrations just through the process of moving. Yep, so amen to that. Thank you for that gift. But, you know, just there are just other things going on too. So I recently started teaching a class up at SUNY New Paltz. So I'm an adjunct professor up there now. So I'm teaching a health psychology class Mondays and Thursday night, which is great. I love that topic. I love the material. I have a small class of 20 students or they're great so far. Hopefully that will continue. But it's been a great experience so far. But, you know, that with it comes responsibility and planning and travel and all those things. And, of course, just the daily life stuff of having kids and being part of a family. And then, of course, you know, other things came up too. But I was feeling it at a point this week. Okay, and I hope that you can relate to that, but I was feeling it. I was feeling just different stress, and you know, I don't know, just the feelings of being overwhelmed by life. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that people are like, "Yeah, we're with you. You know, we get it." And you know, as much as we come together and we know that each other gets it, sometimes it can feel like, man, I think I'm the only one here that's struggling. I'm out here, you know, on my island. And so here I am preparing for the fall workshop. And I'm like, you know, talking about community. And I'm like, oh, it was like a light went off in my head. Oh, yeah, rely on my community. Oh, yeah, right. And, I, you know, honestly, I forget that sometimes. And I don't always take advantage of that. And I'll just say it's something that I'm learning, reaching out for help, reaching out and talking about things that are going on. It's something that I just need to learn and that I'm growing in. And so I did that. I called people. I texted people. I had a great talk with Mark Sanders. And, you know, if you ever, it's like, if you ever need help with something, just, you know, go to Mark. Sorry, now I'm going to overwhelm Mark. Mark's not feeling great today either, probably because it took so much energy to help me out and then zapped his resources. I had a great time with Mark, and then he's like, hey, let's pray together. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So, you know, we prayed together, and it was, you know, it was just such an example of the power of Christian community. I felt lighter after that. I felt like there was a level of the burden that was lifted. And, you know, I mean, that's part of that is just, that's who Mark is, right? And we've experienced that, you know, either with Mark or with one another, but it helped me to reset. It helped me to refocus. It helped me to get my head in the game, right? And sometimes our head gets out of the game and we need help to reset and get our head back in the game. And that's what Christian community does, join together, supporting one another, and holding on to one another. And as much as I like to use that, you know, I thought that would be a good illustration, it needs to be more than just these once-in-a-while opportunities, right? These once-in-a-while, oh, I have this, you know, catastrophe going on, and it wasn't a catastrophe, right? I was just feeling some things, but, you know, it needs to be the regular pattern of relating to one another. That's Christian community. You see, the first century church was a model for us in community, in being a body, diverse people coming together under Christ in love by supporting, joining, and holding one another in a shockingly close and intimate way. And that model, not only just in process, but in outcome, is amazing. I mean, they had an impact on the world that was so earth-shattering that it forever changed the trajectory of this world. Amen to that. And I do believe that what we have here in the Hudson Valley Church is awesome. I mean, take a look around the room. There are so many different people in this room. We look different. We have different backgrounds, right? We come from different places. But we've come together, right? We've come together for a purpose. We've come together for a reason. You see, what I believe that God is doing for us, what I believe where the Spirit is leading us to is to a deeper place of community. More authentic, real community. You see, you can't fake Christian community. We can't just come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and talk to each other for a while after services and even during the week with no real depth. And maybe even just in a once-in-a-while opportunity, or once-in-a-while times, and really call ourselves the Restoration Movement, right? Restoration, restoring New Testament Christianity. Well, New Testament Christianity is true, real, authentic community. And we can't fake that. And we can't do these surfacey things and expect anything powerful, exciting, and spiritual to happen. We've got to dig deep. We've got to decide that we're going to imitate Jesus, that we're going to imitate these people that were so close and tight-knit and tied together that changed the world. We've got to be intentional about our one another relationships. And, you know, I'll knock myself here. That was a one-time thing. I've got to continue that. I've got to make that a pattern and a habit in my life, the joining together, the supporting one another, the holding each other in love, bringing about the good in one another's lives with all of our effort and energy. So we know what it looks like. We know the passages, right? And so the question for us is, how do we do this? How is real community created? How do we do that? Well, so glad that you asked that question this morning. I planted that question and then ran with it. But part of it, and I have a few things that I'll say with this, but part of it is speaking the truth to one another. And often we think about that as I see something in someone else's life, and so I'm gonna speak the truth to them in love. And that is part of what we are to do in community. There's another part of that, though, as we speak the truth to one another, as we put off falsehood, as we stop lying to one another, is being authentic and real and vulnerable with each other. Hey, this is really what's going on with me. This is really where my thoughts are. This is really the decisions that I'm making right now. And so there's a side that comes in with that. We've got to do that with one another. And then it's got to be met with compassion. It's got to be met with empathy in relating to one another, in doing for one another to help. You see, I think when I see supporting and holding one another in the passage, in the scriptures, I think the joining process is vulnerability plus compassion equals connection and community. And that needs to be the dominant pattern in relationships within the body. And so I want to show just a quick little snippet of a video that illustrates this. And I want to give a big shout out to Annette Santori, wherever Annette Santori is. Yeah, so Annette had sent this over to me, and she's like, hey, this is a great video. You know, these are things that we've been talking about in church, and it was a video that she had seen at school, and I'd seen it prior and talked about it with Katie, and I just thought, yeah, this would be a great opportunity to check this out. So thanks for sending that over.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, and climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
It's hard to go wrong with cartoons, you know what I mean? On a Saturday morning, right? It's just Saturday morning cartoons. But that was done by Brené Brown, and she's done a lot of work around this idea of shame, but also empathy and connection. And so I like the way that she differentiated between empathy and sympathy. But I also think it's important for us as Christians to realize that, yes, empathy is important, and what we're talking about really is compassion. Right, and what compassion is feeling with one another, not getting lost in someone else's feeling, but also not, you know, totally distancing ourselves from someone else's feeling. It's meeting them where they are, as was talked about in the video, relating to the situation if possible, or even just saying, I don't know what it feels like to go through that, but you know, I'm here for you. And then compassion is another step. It's action, right? It's helping, it's doing, it's supporting. That's that part of Christian community. And, you know, I believe that this is how we are to be with one another. It builds connection and community. These are biblical concepts, speaking the truth, vulnerability, authenticity, and empathy or compassion. And when we can be connected like that, when we can be with one another like that in community, we can call each other higher. We can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24. We can inspire one another to be our best, to give our best, to envision greater things. And we can challenge one another to grow. And when I played football at Ithaca College in the spring, we would sign up for training groups. And these were groups where we'd come together twice a week and we'd work out together. We'd lift weights. We'd go out on the track and run together. Yeah, I got a shout out over here from my teammate Ryan McCullough, and I'll talk about a little bit about what we're doing actually in just a couple lines. This is very timely. But you know, we had team goals, but we set individual goals and progress that we wanted to make for that semester. And we'd come together in the weight room. We'd bump great workout music together, like Thunderstruck by AC/DC. And we'd listen to Eye of the Tiger, which I put Steve through way too often when I lift with Daniel. I'm not saying we need to replicate that atmosphere here, but you get what I'm saying. But we'd get in each other's faces, and we'd yell and scream, and we'd push each other. Sometimes physically, but in a nice and positive way. But we'd push each other to be our best, right? I would get on the bench press and I would be like, man, I think I can only get 5. And someone was behind me saying, no, you can get 6. You can get 7. Do one more. And we need that with each other. Right? We need to call each other higher. We need to inspire each other. We need to push each other. That's what happens in authentic, true Christian community. And it does remind me of the PFT, the performance fitness test, and what has dwindled down to 2 people, McCullough and I. But yeah, I called a lot of people out in the room right there. You know, it's great. So, sometimes we just follow up with each other and say, hey, here's what I did today. And then I'll say, oh, here's what I didn't do today. But you know what I mean? We're accountable to one another. And we push each other. We talk smack to each other sometimes. Good spiritual smack. You know what I'm saying? You with me on that? But we don't need to replicate that exact model, but you get how it translates to Christian community. Right, this is how we are to to be with one another. And our life groups that we'll be implementing today are the practical and structural ways we are trying to facilitate Christian community. It doesn't make Christian community, okay? It's not going to make it happen, but at least sets up an opportunity for Christian community to go deeper, to exist, and to be. Groups that support, join, and hold together in love for the purpose of growing in Christ-likeness for the glory of God, to transform within and without or around. It needs to be our mindset and our spirit here. See, we have a group here, as I mentioned before, that is great, that has a level of closeness. But what I believe God is calling us into, what I believe we need, what is required, is greater depth. And so I wanted to just take an opportunity to set some goals for you as a congregation, as the Hudson Valley Church. And these are similar goals to what we had in place last year, but these are great goals to have. And you know, hopefully you can recall the Hudson Valley Church mission statement and see how these are all part of that mission. And so one goal is individual spiritual growth, that each member in the Hudson Valley Church will be growing spiritually. And we have a way now of measuring that. We've had ways of measuring that and thinking through that, but we have a way of measuring that through the Christian Life Profile Assessment. That's one tool in place. And so if you haven't completed that yet, please do so. Because it does give you feedback, and it does have you think through some spiritual goals for the rest of the year. And it has you come up with a plan, and we'll be talking about those and working through these in our life groups. And so that leads me to the second goal, life groups formed and growing in connection. And so how are we going to measure that? Well, there's some items in the Christian Life Profile Assessment that measure that. But there's another piece of that where we just get feedback from you and from the leaders. How's it going in your groups? Are you growing in your depth of connection and spurring one another on? And we're going to talk about lots of things in these groups. We're going to talk about spiritual disciplines that are going on in our lives, Bible study, meditation, fasting. I got an initial look at the Christian Life Profile Assessment results. And fasting, probably not surprising, is one of our low scores. But that's something that we need to be practicing together. but we're going to talk about, you know, other things as well. We're going to talk about evangelism and reaching out. And how are we doing in that regard? That was another score on the Christian Life Profile Assessment that was not as high as some of the other scores. And so those are things that we need to work on. And so relatedly, we want to add body parts. We want to add people to our group. And so the number that I want to put before you, and it's not all about numbers, but it does give us a target, is growing by 7 people in the fall. And what I'm hoping to see, what I'm hoping will happen, what I'm praying will happen, is that we'll have new people coming into the kingdom of God from different backgrounds and at different places and stages in life. Campus ministry. We want to see campus baptisms. We want to see married baptisms, young marrieds and mature marrieds. We want to see singles baptized. Right? We want to see singles come into our group and be part of the great singles group that we have here in the Hudson Valley Church. We want to see teens baptized. And that's something we want to see as a community. I know we all feel that and want that and desire that. And so that's a goal. We want to see people restored to the kingdom of God. We want to see people restored to the fellowship. And we want to, and this is the last goal, we want to hold on to everyone. I know you feel that. I know that you desire that. So let's hold on to one another, right? Let's be the Christian community that's joined together, that's supporting of one another, and that's held together by Christ. So let us in the Hudson Valley Church be the community that Christ has called us to be. Let's be the community that God has envisioned for us. Let's be the community that the Spirit is leading us towards. Let's be the community that shines the light of Christ in a dark valley. Let us be community. Amen.